بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شعرف بلاوي الشيخ أول رميضة تبريد دورة الشيخ العرب الأجمل الشيخ حكيم محمد اقتصر نور الله مركزه. التايتل ہے کسی مخلص کی ضائع کوئی قربانی نہیں جاتی، کسی مخلص کی ضائع کوئی قربانی نہیں جاتی، کسی مخلص کی ضائع کوئی قربانی نہیں جاتی، کسی کے قلب سے جو آہ پنہانی نہیں جاتی، کسی مخلص کی ضائع کوئی قربانی نہیں جاتی، کسی کے قلب سے جو آہ پنہانی نہیں جاتی، اگرچہ معاف کر دیتے ہیں وہ اپنی محبت سے، اگرچہ معاف کر دیتے ہیں وہ اپنی محبت سے، مگر میں کیا کروں میری پشیمانی نہیں جاتی، کسی کے قلب سے جو آہ پنہانی نہیں جاتی، بتوں کی بے وفائی کا کیا ہے تجربہ تو نے، بتوں کی بے وفائی کا کیا ہے تجربہ تو نے، مگر اے نفس پھر بھی تیری نادانی نہیں جاتی، کسی کے قلب سے جو آہ پنہانی نہیں جاتی، تیرا بچپن میں یہ بچپن میں مجھے حیرت ہے اے ناداں، تیرا بچپن تیرا بچپن میں یہ بچپن مجھے حیرت ہے اے ناداں، بڑھاپے میں بھی تیری خوب طفلانی نہیں جاتی، بڑھاپے میں بھی تیری خوب طفلانی نہیں جاتی، عجب درویش ہے تیرے کے گدڑی پوش ہو کر بھی، عجب درویش ہے تیرے کی گدڑی پوش ہو کر بھی، بفیض نور نسبت شان سلطانی نہیں جاتی، بفیض نور نسبت شان سلطانی نہیں جاتی، محبت میں کبھی ایسے بھی دن آتے ہیں اے اختر، محبت میں کبھی ایسے بھی دن آتے ہیں اے اختر، کہ رونے پر بھی غم کی اشک بارانی نہیں جاتی، کہ رونے پر بھی اشک غم کی اشک بارانی نہیں جاتی، اگرچہ معاف کر دیتے ہیں وہ, اگرچہ معاف کر دیتے ہیں وہ اپنی محبت سے, مگر میں کیا کروں میری پشیمانی نہیں جاتی. تیرا تیرا بچپن میں یہ بچپن مجھے حیرت ہے اے ناداں, کہ بڑھاپے میں بھی تیری خوئے طفلانی نہیں جاتی. کسی مخلص کی ضائع کوئی قربانی نہیں جاتی. کسی کے قلب سے جو آہ پنہانی نہیں جاتی.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عبادی الذین اصطفى. This very beautiful bayan of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi Waqt Tabrizi Zamana مجدد زمانہ حضرت شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب مد ذل رحمت اللہ علیہ. حضرت از ایکسپلیننگ آس یئر اے ویری ہائی پوزیشن دیٹ ایز اے پرسن تھریڈ دا اسپاٹ آف دا لو آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی, دین ہاؤ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی کنسیڈرز سچ اے پرسن. اینڈ بیوٹیفلی حضرت از ٹائٹل دس پوم, دس بیان آف ہیز ان پویٹک فارم, کسی مخلص کی ضائع کوئی قربانی نہیں جاتی. That a person who has inculcated now Tawheed, and naturally when you got Tawheed, you got firm conviction in Allah Rabbul Izzat, then that person, his ikhlas, we cannot imagine. And such a person, to get this Tawheed, a person has to make qurbani, you have to sacrifice, and you have to sit in the company of those people who have got Tawheed. Then this reality will come in your heart. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us so beautifully, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. These are the people who have got this quality of ihsan. They are in contact with Allah, and they know whatever happens, it's only through the command, through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that كَيْفِيَةِ ihsan. And that is why Allah ta'ala has given us life, that our life should start with Surah Fatiha, that is what Tawheed, and by the time you tread the spot of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come towards the end of the Qur'an Kareem, then Suratul Ikhlas, which is actually known as Surah Tawheed, that's supposed to have penetrated our heart. And such a person, Allah ta'ala says, when you have made effort in this line of deen, then whatever effort you made, Allah ta'ala will not let any of your efforts go in vain. Allah Ta'ala is that great being who is Ash-Shakur. That Allah doesn't need to be grateful. We have to be grateful to Allah Rabbul Izzat. But one great quality of Allah is Ash-Shakur. Alladhi yu'ti al-ajr al-jazeel ala al-amal al-kathir. That great being. You make an effort to please Allah, and you make one small effort. One subhanallah you recite, Allah Ta'ala gives you the reward you can't imagine. Just to understand, according to our limited brain, we know the sky is the limit, the earth is the limit. So we have been explained, one subhanallah fills the space between the sky and the earth. Whereas Allah Ta'ala is wasi'ul maghfirah. Allah is far beyond that. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching us, that Hazrat is teaching us here so beautifully, and all these poems we can see are directly connected from the teachings of Quran Sharif and the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hazrat says that whoever spends his life in the right way and inculcates Tawheed, and this will take a lifetime to come. Ikhlas doesn't just come overnight. And so beautifully ulama have explained that ikhlas in the start, why Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us, that teach your children to start performing salah from the age of 7 years. 7 years, we know they play around. When the ustad sees them, the father sees them, then they make like they're performing salah. And when nobody is seeing them, they're playing around, they're looking around. But from 7 years till 10 years, that habit comes in the child already. Now 10 years, he's so conscious about salah that he will tell his father that it's time for salah. Now from 10 years, by the time he becomes matured, then as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, when he's 10 now, then be firm on him, that he must be so firm on salah that you must even reprimand him. But sadly today, that we are so weak in our salah, and we see the repercussions. Allah Ta'ala is showing us, Allah is not in need of our salah. We are in need to turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. But unfortunately, when we don't realize this reality, Allah Ta'ala shows in whose control is the world. On the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala will announce, Limanil Mulkul Yawm, for who does sovereignty belong? Allah is showing it to us in the world today, that no government has control over anything. Allah is in sole control. And that is why Allah Ta'ala says that person who becomes a mukhlis, he becomes sincere for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, Allah doesn't let any of his actions go for waste. So much so that Hazrat explains it so beautifully. Kisi mukhlis ki zai koi kurbani nahi jati. Kisi ke kalb se jo aah pinhani nahi jati. That a person who becomes a mukhlis, a die-hard lover of Allah, any small kurbani he has made, but their kurbani is their sacrifice. Today we are enjoying the deen of Islam through the not just the sweat, the blood of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. We see their efforts. Today the deen is shining in the world, but we haven't appreciated it. And then further Hazrat explains that such people who have got to firm conviction and they have got contact with Allah, from their heart, that sigh of deep regret that comes out, that how Allah, how are we slipping our deen? How are we breaking your command? And the friends of Allah, they cry upon their ibadat, that, oh Allah, what kind of tahajjud I made today? What kind of dua I made today? Hazrat says, that deep sigh in their dua, it doesn't go for waste. Allah Ta'ala has got great regard for those duas. So we have to turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And such people, Allah Akbar, Hazrat says here so beautifully, agarche maaf kar dete hai wo apni muhabbat se, magar main kya karu, meri pishye pashemani nahi jati. That Allah Ta'ala has promised, in Allah ghafoorul wadood, Allah loves to forgive. But the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they say, although Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that you make tawbah, you have regret, you have sincere, and you feel the regret in your heart, and you know Allah inshallah will forgive me out of His love and kindness. But Hazrat says the friends of Allah, because of their connection with Allah Ta'ala, that love of Allah, that regret doesn't go from their heart. That how could I waste my time? Allah gave me my life, and I am disobedient to Allah. As Hazrat teaches us so beautifully, our Dada Shaykh, khate Rahman ki aur ghate shaitan ki. How could I ever do this? So we see the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, as they progress and they're going closer to Allah, yet they look at themselves as nothing. That how could I waste my life? How did I do this in my life? Although our elders have taught us that make tawbah, make istighfar, be sincere to Allah Ta'ala, and you will feel Allah Ta'ala's rahmat coming upon you. Now you don't have to think about your sins. Move ahead. But when the head gets big and you think I'm a buzur, then just think, how did I pass my life? Even now that I think that I'm a pious person, what kind of zikr do I make? Unmindful zikr. What kind of salah do I make? So the friends of Allah, they know Allah will forgive us out of His kindness. Not that we deserve to be forgiven. Allah, out of His kindness, Allah loves to forgive, but you have that regret. Allah gave me my life, and this is how I'm passing my life. Buto ki be wafai ka kya hai tajruba tune, ka kya hai tajruba tune, magar ae nafs, phir bhi teri nadani nahi jati. Hazrat says, take a lesson. If you don't turn to Allah, and you don't tread this path of becoming a mukhlis, a die-hard lover of Allah, you don't become a sincere person, then haven't you experienced all the disloyalties of the artificial idols of this world, whether it's your sport, whether it's your entertainment, whether it's your name and fame, all this, the artificial idols of this world has been so loyal to you. And even the people of the world, they are so disloyal. And especially our enemy, arch enemy, Shaitan, and all his allies, they are so disloyal. With all the indoctrination, they pass on all wrong messages. And we still get caught up. And we still get caught up into the trap and we fall for their messages. Haven't you been caught up? Haven't you experienced all their disloyalty till now? Hazrat says that, oh, what a nafs have you got. What a weak person you are. When you disconnect from Allah, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us so beautifully, if you inculcate one fear, the fear of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, we don't fear like a government, like a tyrant ruler, in the love of Allah. Allah gave me my life, and I'm disobeying Allah. In the love of Allah, you fear Allah, and Allah's greatness. I have to stand in the court of Allah. Allah will take out the fear of everything else from your heart. And if you don't inculcate the fear of Allah in your heart, then all this disloyal, artificial idol, all that fear will come into your heart. The smallest thing will make you scared and you become paranoid, like how the world is paranoid today. So Hazrat says, don't be like a small child. Don't be so ignorant. Just build your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will see clearly the world is disloyal. The only loyal being is Allah Rabbul Izzat, and the pure deen that Allah Ta'ala has given us according to the way of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat explained so beautifully, tera bachpan ye, bachpan mein mujhe hairat hai ae nada, burhape mein bhi tere khue kiflani nahi jati. That Hazrat says, if you didn't make your life and realize your object and purpose of life is Allah has sent me to connect to Allah, then you'll become like an old man. You're 55, 60, as our Hazrat teaches us so beautifully. Bachpan ho gaya, abhi bachpana nahi gaya. You're 55, you're 60, and you're still like a small child. You're still asking about the score. You're still worried about the mess. You still want to roam around in the shopping mall. You still want to go to the resorts, etc. You still haven't realized that only Allah Ta'ala is taking care of me. You still get overtaken with the artificial fears of this world. Hazrat says that I'm actually astonished that you're 55 and your habits of childhood days haven't gone still. And many we see a parent, you'll ask them that why this big screen in your house? You say, Moana, the children want to watch sports. Not the children want to watch the sports, you want to watch the sports, you want to watch the news and you blame it on the children also. So myself, I have to see that my habits of childhood days, I'm still so old and I've got time for all this. Got time to waste on watching the news, which is just to make people scared. Allah Ta'ala has warned us, يُرِيدُونَ يُدْفِيُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, that the world and this artificial, disloyal idols of this world, they want to scare you with just their news media. Allah Ta'ala doesn't, Allah Ta'ala reminds us, أَشْتَيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنُّ وَفَضْلًا. Shaitan will scare you with poverty, and what brings poverty, he will get you involved in those haram actions, in insurance policies, medical aid, etc. These things bring poverty. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah promises you, Allah will give you maghfirat, Allah will give you forgiveness, Allah's rahmat will come down upon you. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we grow up and become matured in the love of Allah, and not like your children, we are still immature. Hazrat says, Ajab durwesh, hey tere ke gudri posh hokar bhi, bafere noor e nisbat chani sultani nahi jaati. On the other hand, Hazrat says, look at the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As they become closer and closer to Allah, they become like ordinary durwesh, simple people. Their dressing is simple, their way of life is simple. But although they are so simple, they've got the noor of nisbat. Their connection with Allah is so strong that their honor, like the king is walking. He looks so simple, but everybody is rushing behind him. Who is this? Allah Ta'ala puts in the heart of people, as we know the famous hadith. Allah Ta'ala tells Jibreel alayhi salam, I love this person, you also love him. Announce in the heavens, we love him, and all the malaika love him. Announce in the world, the people of the world start loving him. He looks like a simple people, person, but everybody is running behind him. Why? That nur of nisbat, that connection. And those who want honor, all the prime ministers of the world, people artificially respect them, but there's hatred for them. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding, that we understand reality of life. And in the end, as was beautifully mentioned, Muhabbat mein kabhi aise bhi din aate hai ae akhtar, ke rone par bhi gham ashbarani nahi chahti. Hazrat says that in the spark of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you go closer and closer to Allah, that special moments of love comes, and it just like joy comes in your heart, that, oh Allah, how did I waste my life? And tears start pouring down, and in the love of Allah, the tears just can't stop. It's like a waterfall, and that whole, this fountain, and that enjoyment of crying to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding, just to open our hearts, and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, and see how Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will come down.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Kitab Hakimul Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, Hayatul Muslimin. The first chapter was on Iman and Islam. The second quality which a person must acquire is knowledge, acquisition of and imparting deeni knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O people, save yourselves, O people of Iman, save yourselves and your families from the fire. Explaining this ayat, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, it means, teach your family acts of virtue, that is deeni acts. It is manifest from this verse and hadith that teaching the deen to one's wife and children is compulsory. Failing to discharge this obligatory duty will result in the fire of the punishment, as stated in the verse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that amongst the good deeds of believers which will continue to build up as capital after one's death is deeni knowledge which was imparted to others. This applies to even a single masala shown to another. Among such deeds is the dissemination of the deen. For example, by means of writing or purchasing books and distributing these, or by assisting students pursuing deen knowledge. Also among the virtuous deeds, the sawab of which will be remained after one's death, are pious children. The hadith mentions some other acts of virtues as well in this regard. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one has given his children anything better than adab, which in this context refers to deen knowledge. It's the best thing you can give to your child is deen knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala makes Jannat a surety for a man who looks after three daughters or three sisters. He imparts knowledge to them, is kind to them, until such time that Allah Ta'ala relieves him of their responsibility. It is until they get married. Somebody then inquired regarding two daughters, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the same reward for caring for two daughters. Another person inquired in regard to one daughter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the sawab and significance are for caring for even one daughter. Acquisition and teaching of deeni knowledge being faraz, and the considerable sawab therefore are established by these ahadith, as well as many other ahadith. The highest degree of such knowledge is that which qualifies one as an alim of deen. However, all people do not have the ability, determination and opportunity to become ulama. Nevertheless, deeni knowledge is incumbent upon all. Hence, a simple method of acquiring such knowledge will be explained. This simple method enables the general public to acquire deeni knowledge, thereby discharging the incumbent duty and obtaining the sawab promised in this regard. Number one, those versed with the Urdu language or in English today should study authentic kitabs of the deen. Example, Bahishti Zewar, Ta'alim ud-Din, Qasd ud-Sabil, Tabligh ad-Din, etc. These books should be studied in Latin form from a reliable alim. If the services of such a teacher are not available, then read and study these books on your own until you find someone able to teach you. Whatever you do not understand, make a mark. Seek clarification whenever you meet someone of knowledge. Whatever knowledge you acquire in this way, impart it to others also. Make a special effort to teach such knowledge which you have acquired to your wife and children. Number two, those unable to read Urdu should endeavor to enlist the services of one who is versed in the Urdu language or in English also. The instructor should read and explain the books to his class. At the same time, they should refer their dini questions to him for explanation. It is best and most beneficial if such a knowledgeable man can be engaged permanently. If necessary, he should be paid a salary, which should be the responsibility of the community. All can contribute towards the salary. To raise a salary for an ustad is not at all difficult. People squander so much of money on unnecessary and unlawful worldly luxuries. Contributing a bit towards one's own dini life, which in reality is the capital and means of one's everlasting life in the year after, is no sacrifice. And when you are appointing a teacher and selecting kitabs, do not follow your own choice. Seek the advice of a pious alim. Number three, refer your affairs to some pious alim so that you may know and understand if your affairs and activities are in conformity with the Sharia. Whenever you want to start any venture, dini or worldly, and you are not sure of the Sharia ruling, then first seek the guidance of a pious alim. What you learn in this way, impart it to others as well. If you do not have the opportunity to go and personally visit him, then send him a letter in close times, and send him an email, something you send to that alim. Number four, occasionally endeavor to meet pious ulama. Sit in their company and listen to their talks and advice. It is very beneficial to go specially to meet them. However, if you lack the means of going to meet them, or the opportunity does not arise, and no such pious alim is nearby, then whenever such an opportunity comes your way, take advantage of it and spend some time in their company. When you are in the company of an alim, ask him about your dini matters. And number five, another important duty is to occasionally invite a reliable and good alim to your town or neighborhood. When you are thinking who you must invite, seek the advice of a pious alim. Do not invite just anyone. When listening to his lecture, do so with great attention, so that the love and fear of Allah Ta'ala will enter your heart. Practicing in accordance with the commands of the deen will then become a simple matter. In addition to these things, it is essential to abstain from two harms. Number one, never attend or participate in the gatherings and functions of the kuffar and those who have gone astray. Firstly, words of kuffar and deviation produce darkness in the heart. Secondly, at such gatherings, there is a possibility of a Muslim being provoked. His iman may become inflamed because of haram acts being committed or statements of blasphemy uttered. His anger may lead to dispute and strife. On the other hand, if he can't voice his anger, he will be overtaken by depression and frustration. One's peace of mind will be wrecked. So the first thing is, don't attend the people gatherings of the kuffar and those who are astray, Shias and all of these other groups, bidatis. We should stay away from them. And number two, refrain from disputes and debates. In the majority of cases, debates produce darkening of the heart, ill feeling and frustration. Another very harmful effect of attending such gatherings and engaging in debates is doubt and confusion. A statement of falsehood or kufr may throw the unqualified one, the one with insufficient knowledge, into great mental confusion. One may be influenced by the batil, and due to insufficient knowledge, the doubt will linger and not be dispelled. Thus, by attending such functions, one brings and invites great spiritual harm upon oneself. One attends at the harm of one's iman. Should anyone try to put you into a debate, refuse firmly and refer him to the ulama. Adherence to these instructions and methods will inshallah ensure dini and imani health. You will be safe spiritually and morally. You will be safe from the diseases which attack the deen. May Allah Ta'ala assist and grant us tawfiq. And also very important is emails and it's on the internet. People go on to different sites. But the kitab the person reads, always ask the ulama kiram, which kitab should I read? Is this kitab reliable or not? Because otherwise, one kitab a person reads, it can turn the person's heart completely and put him into many doubts. Allah give us tawfiq to make amal.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلامٌ على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن تطع أكثر من في الأرض يضلوك عن سبيل الله إن يتبعون إلا الظن وإن هم إلا يخرصون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Today we all know that this coronavirus is a big talk of everywhere. Everyone is talking about it. From where it comes, that also shouldn't concern us much. Many times we discuss so much in that, whether China made it, whether America made it, whatever, that we don't have to. It is there. And now there is a problem, and we have to face the problem. So there are different aspects to look from it, to look at it from. One is, which Allah Ta'ala says here in this ayat, وَإِن تُطِئْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. If you follow the vast majority of the people of the world, يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They will misguide you from the path of Allah Ta'ala. إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِ. They are only following their whims and fancies, what they thinking, their conjecture, which they call big research, which they call scientific research, and they try and put it down our throats, our minds and hearts, that these are facts. But the very basic things, like for example, Darwin's theory, they themselves call it a theory. They themselves don't say it's a fact. Whereas Quran Sharif says, خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ, I created man. And in very many ayat, that how Allah Ta'ala is created. Then on the other hand, they say the Big Bang theory. They themselves saying it's a theory. They don't say it as a fact. They know it's not a fact also. And Allah's system also works many times such that Allah makes the words come out from their tongue. And today, with all their research, everything, they're still calling it a theory. So anyway, with regard to this disease which is there, epidemic, a plague, widespread, world spread, it is international. So they look at it from their point of view. All their research, their scientific things, etc. And the saddest part in all what they look at it in at is there is no Allah that features in there. The name of Allah, the work of Allah, the existence of Allah, that Allah is the doer, that you will never hear. That is their way. If there are other people who may be Christians, they may still think that Allah, there is place for Allah. Perhaps even a Jew, or even anyone else. But these atheists, and also we keep on learning what we learn. Modernism, we take it all, that a person who is modern is in this present day life, etc. But in the psychological level, what is modernism? Modernism is moving forward in life. It's going more technology, more research, more in front. So that is what they call modernism. In transport, they have gone further. In communication, they have, whatever you can think of. And they say we have to move on front. And we say the back we have to go to, the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the time. They say that you are moving backwards. So that is one major difference between us. We say the Quran, that was the Quran Sharif that was revealed 1400 years ago. That is our hidayat. We say the lifestyle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of 1400 years ago, that is our moving forward. That is where we are becoming successful in this dunya also and in akhirat also. So that is a major difference. So we're going to follow their way, يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They're going to misguide us from the path of Allah. From their path, they will say, we're giving you all now wonderful motor cars, wonderful houses, wonderful things to keep you cool in summer, to keep you warm in winter, clothes we are giving you. But from the path of Allah, they will mislead you. So we have to be very, very careful about that. Their whole system and what they are teaching is that they are taking away from the masjid. And going away from the masjid should be logical to the weakest Muslim. If we are going away from the masjid and we are closing our masjid, and very sadly, our people without being told to close the masjid, nobody is saying close the masjid, but we are going a step forward than them also. If they are, they are going to misguide us from the right path. But we are going a step ahead, and we are closing the masjids when we are not even asked for. And they are not even saying close the masjid. what other regulations they got, we don't say that we must fight against them, we must go against them. No, they whatever they say, how to do it in one time, have 100 people, no problem. But we don't close our masjids. Masjids must be more important. And more than that also, to be in the masjid, to make Allah's ibadat, they're not stopping from that also. So we must carry on with Allah. See, we must go more closer to Allah. Everything what we are, we have to go closer to Allah, to the house of Allah. And we have to work out our strategies that how we're going to make the masajid abad and keep the masjid doors open. And we don't infringe on what they say. We haven't got the power today to fight them. But Allah has given us, that's also very important, for the greatest weapon of dua. And dua, many times we have explained how it changes things. Duas are things that change the whole conditions of the world without even spending any money, without any arms or weapons or anything we don't need. Allah gave us the strongest thing, which is dua. So we should use that. So their system is that they want to, all their scientific research, etc. We say back to Allah. Back to Deen, back to Sunnah, and whatever they are teaching us, and so to say, washing hands, etc., all that, we have got it all the time, and we are saying it all the time. It's nothing new that when you get up in the morning, wash your hands first, and then clean your mouth, use miswak, the most purest way to clean your mouth. So that is what we are taught. Five times a day wudu. And wudu, if we go and see, the whole wudu is so complete, so perfect in cleanliness. The gurgling of the mouth. We are not asked just to rinse the mouth, to gurgle, which unfortunately most of us don't do also. Gurgling is that the water plays around in the throat. And that sound also comes. That is what is called gurgling. Wudu should be done like that. Cleaning our nose. That also is not just quickly putting water in the nose, blowing the nose, putting the fingers in and taking out the dirt. All that, washing the face in detail. Every part of the face should be washed properly. And it is also right that a person with different types of beards, a person got a full beard, it's not necessary to wash all this. But then too, to put the water three times. And then to rub where the beard is all properly, to rub it, to make khilal. That is also a command of Allah. So how much of cleanliness? And if a person's beard is not full and the skin is visible, then the masalas are there. Then he has to wash the skin, etc. The feet we wash. They are worried of all various diseases from the feet, etc. We are commanded to wash it at least five times a day. And before eating, after eating, and in fact so much so, we a point that we should try and take note of, which is very important, whenever we handle money, then we should try and wash our hands. We should think how we can make it practical. It's not really so practical, but we should think how to do it. And it is up to us to think. Like money, for example, a person is counting money, he's a cashier, and he's got a packet of crisps there. And now and then he's popping one crisp into his mouth. Now all that money he handled, with all the dirt on it, and where people keep money. One friend I was speaking to, so he was saying some people keep their money in their socks. That is still not so dirty. And when that money comes, he pulled his face also, how dirty that money. But also on this point a little bit, Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained that if your money got lost, all this money that comes, and you lost your money, it comes back, it's still dear to you. You will still, even if it is messed up everything, you'll perhaps even iron it again. You'll make it nice and straight. You'll bundle it into the amounts, everything. And it will be dear to you. But if your wife, your daughter is missing for one night, and after that she comes back and she can't explain where she was that night, your whole life is destroyed. So how important it is, money that we will still, it will be dear to us. But if your wife was missing for a night or for a few hours, and she can't explain where she was, What's your condition after that? So anyway, so with all this, yeah, they will look at it. We have to look at it. What the equation where Allah is high, Allah alone is there. He is the doer. All this has come from Allah. Whether the Chinese made it, the Americans made it, but Allah Ta'ala has sent it. And there the problem is there. And the only one who can take away the problem now is Allah Ta'ala. So our attachment must be with Allah, predominant. Today when we are talking also, and very surprising that our like dini, religious organizations giving directives, etc., they don't speak about Allah also. They don't speak about tawakkul. They don't speak about going to Allah. They speak also of closing the masjid, of not having Jummah, etc. We're going in the opposite direction. And sadly, we're going a step ahead of the non-believers in this direction. So we our trust in Allah all the time. And this should be an occasion that we strengthen our bond with Allah Ta'ala. We make our bond with Allah more stronger. And we become more closer to Allah Ta'ala. And a person goes to anyone's house is to meet the person you want to meet. If they say the person is not there now, then you go away, you come back when he's there. You phone somebody who you wanted to speak to, you want to speak to that person. That person is not available, you'll phone back, you ask him to phone you. So we come to the house of Allah to meet Allah. Allah is here, Allah is everywhere. But Allah is here and we have to build that bond with Allah Ta'ala. And if we make little effort in this direction, when we enter the masjid, we will feel the presence, the more closer presence. So we have to go to Allah. Our tawakkul, our trust on Allah. And together with that, we must please Allah Ta'ala. Today we want to please all the people of dunya. We want, therefore, scientific researchers we want to follow. We have to bond with Allah and Allah's commandments. That must be predominant. Tawakkul on Allah, the commands of Allah. And Allah has made it such that Allah's command is the greatest thing. Allah is the greatest, His commands are the greatest. And Allah made it, if we calculate it, we'll see that about 600 times a day we hear or we say, Allahu Akbar, Allah, you are the greatest. Allah, your command is the greatest. That must come into us. So our tawakkul, inabat ilallah, turning more towards Allah Ta'ala, more towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, that we have to try and bring. Then there are a few things also that we have to see, that now what we're going a step further and closing the masjid ourselves. This also we have to think, why are we being deprived of the masjid today? One is, Allah give us all tawfiq, mashallah, there are many people who are coming to the masjid. But let us think, did I make ever shukr to Allah? There's a masjid at my doorstep. There's a masjid 1.5 minute away. Walking 3 minutes away. Going by car 0.5 minute away. Did you ever make shukr to Allah? The doors of the masjid are open for us anytime. And do we make shukr? All the amenities for the masjid, the cleanliness, and we don't have to suffer any inferiority complex. We don't have to worry what they telling us. Our cleanliness, maybe there may be some place where the wuzukhana is not clean, toilet, but the amount of effort that is made in our masajid, toilets are so clean. The wuzukhanas are so clean. Maybe some occasion, something. Masajid are kept so clean. People who come for, and not only in our country today, throughout the world, masajid are kept in such a hygienic way. So we don't have to worry of all these things here, towels, etc. We've got our hygiene and it's in place. So did we make shukr for all this? So when we don't make shukr, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَهَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ And yeah, kafartum, if you make nashukri, we don't make shukr, then Allah says, my punishment. Isn't this perhaps that, together with that, we didn't appreciate? Then there are so many of us, we hear the adhan, we don't go to the masjid, that's even bigger nashukri. That the azan is taking place and we don't come to the masjid, then also we should think, and we are, how many of us are guilty? We are here in the masjid talking loudly. this is a thing which her is the malaika are very, very, and not only the malaika, but even people who are engaged in their little bit ibadah, somebody is talking loud, somebody is making a noise, how lot is, and for the malaika much more. We, no matter how big buzurg they can be, he can't be as sensitive to these things as the malaika are sensitive. Then how many times perhaps a smoker comes and the smell of the smoke is still in the mouth. We also take offense, malaika take much more offense. Also, one of the adab of the masjid, we must put itar, atar. How many of us do that? Hey, we just come like that here, even if we shower daily, but our perspiration is there. We are taught all these adab. And then again, the cell phone. And how many of us, we got musical tones. And it plays in the masjid. We are the malaika we are. And then we have to think, Kaaba Sharif, our heart bleeds. That now tawaf you can't make around the Kaaba direct, right at the Kaaba. At Rozae Mubarak, Salatu Salam. But how much aren't we guilty of the worst punishments are for those people who take photos. And yeah, right in front of the Kaaba we are taking photos. And for what also? We're taking selfies there. What is it? I want to show somebody. So for show, I want to have this as my record, and I want to keep it. All this right in front of Rozae Mubarak. There we are playing music. The phones ring there also. Music right at Rozae Mubarak, in front of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right at the Kaaba, in the Hatim, which is in the Kaaba. And there also all this music and there. So we have really brought it upon ourselves. And we have to make tawbah from that. And let us also think, when we hear somebody talking loud in the masjid, making a noise, somebody who's not dressed properly. One time our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali came and he saw the jubbas which hang, and many masjids got jubbas. So he held it, looked at it, then he asked, for what you people keep these jubbas here? So normally we keep it, a person got short sleeve. So he wears the jubba. So he said, that is okay, not so important, even with short sleeves. But he says, the clothes, the jeans the people are wearing, so tight fitting. And sometimes a person, his t-shirt is also, when he goes in the ruku, then his back opens and his sitter is open also. So he says, make the niyat that this jubba, that this tight clothes, and the condition for clothes is, one, it must not be see-through, it must not reveal the shape of the body. And this reveals the shape, this tight clothing. And it's so common. And then clothes which are, at one place we made namaz, the imam's kurta, right on the ground, not below the ankle. Quite a bit of it right on the ground. So all this, our bay adabi, we're not appreciating the masajid. So this is our problems. So we have to make tawbah from this, make our bond with Allah. And the solution is not going away from the masjid. The solution is coming to the masjid. Solution is not closing the masjid. Solution is closing, opening our heart and opening the masjid. And then we have got so many wonderful teachings. Hadrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali has explained that I myself and my elders, that it is our experience, it is in Quran and Hadith also, and we have experienced it also, that whenever a calamity befell any person, any people, then they resorted to Durood Sharif in abundance and Tawbah and Istighfar. And on that Allah removed the problems. So we should go for that solution. We are more worried of this disinfectant and that other thing and all those things. That on its place, do it. But the main thing that we have to do is that we turn, and if we can, our durood sharif we increase. Tawbah and istighfar we increase. On that Allah will solve our problems. Then we are taught sadaqah. Sadaqah, it pleases Allah Ta'ala. Sadaqah, charity, removes a bad mot from a person, guarantees a good mot to a person. Problems which have come, they are removed. Problems which are coming are kept away. So sadaqah is a great thing. Dua we should make. And if we can, and especially the woman folk who, mashallah, engage more in this, two rakats namaz, duas. Again two rakats namaz, again duas. Try and do that. How much we can also. do namaz and then dua, namaz and then dua. And then with that also, our views that tawassul of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a strong thing Allah has given us by the barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, by the love you got for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accept our du'as, oh Allah. Use the names of Allah, Asma'ul Husna. Take the names of Allah and say, Allah, by your beautiful names, accept our du'as. And du'a must be du'a, a connection with Allah Ta'ala, not a sing-song thing, not a just like passing time. Qunut and Nazil, Alhamdulillah, Imams are reading. All must be reading. So the difficult times we are going through, what in Syria we should make, and dua, make dua for the Mujahideen of Syria, in Delhi and the conditions there, what harm has come. So dua, Qunut and Nazil. And the Qunut and Nazil also, not like in a tarannum, in a sing-song type, but what dua is, pleading with Allah Ta'ala in a pleading way. And then our own du'as also. And du'as we have to really engage in. Together with the du'as, our ma'amulat. We'll finish our ma'amulat. Turn towards Allah Ta'ala. These are the things that are going to bring us closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Also very important, Allah give us tawfiq, and perhaps here also, ladies can do this more, keeping of rozas. Ya Allah, these problems which are here, we keep rozas. Mannat is another very great tool, instrument Allah has given us to get to our objective, what we want. Mannat is a great thing. Mannat is that, Ya Allah, if this work of mine get done, I will keep so many rozas, I will give so much charity, I will give to this person, I'll give to this masjid, I'll give to this madrasa. That is mannat. So when we make a mannat, that Ya Allah, you remove these problems, let our masajid be open, let tawaf come back in its place properly, let ziyarat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take place the original proper way. Ya Allah, you bless us. If you grant us this, I will keep so many rozas, I will give so much sadaqah, I will make so many namazes. Let us use these things. We have been given these things. These other things that people are telling us, all their hygiene, which is nothing really. We've got the most, where they can't dream about istinja. When today they have put urinals right in Arafat and in Mina also. And now they have invented some urinal for women also. That women also can stand and urinate now. What do they know? What is istinja? The istinja, Allah has given us that cleanliness. And that with the today, with our tissue paper first, and then you make your istinja. What a level of cleanliness we have been given. These people can't dream, and we want to follow them in their low level of their cleanliness. We want to try and follow them, who are mostly in a state of janabat all the time, who are in a state of kufr and a state of disbelief of Allah. The greatest napaki they have got, their hearts are filthy, and we want to follow in that, and we want to make them happy, and we're going one step ahead. And without them telling us close our masjids, we want to close. Many things what they not telling us, we want to do. We must do what we have to do. And what we are doing, just come back to our line. And Allah Ta'ala's help will be there with us. So Allah give us tawfiq to move in this direction. And to make du'as also, to make connection with Allah Ta'ala. And another thing which they have brought about is panic. The one thing is they are paranoid. One thing is the disease is there, the virus, and now all the panic on top of it also. We have got tawakkul on Allah. And if Allah give us maut in this way, you get the maut of a shaheed. So we are gainers in every way. We don't lose in any way. We take our precautions, which are, and our main precautions are of deen. Then the other precautions, which is in a life of a Muslim. If a Muslim is far from deen, he's staying in janabat, he's not making wudu, he's not making namaz, he has to come back to deen. He doesn't have to follow all what they are saying. So we have to come back to deen. And then we follow our way. We trust in Allah. And we have tawakkul, tafweed, that Ya Allah, whatever you have decreed for us, that is going to happen. A Muslim is not paranoid. A Muslim is not taken over with panic, how they are. And again, in their side, one side is panic. On the other side, they are making joke about a serious thing. On other, our side, we have got tawakkul, we have got radha bil qada, and we take our precautions, and our main precautions are of deen, together with that, these other precautions also. So may Allah Ta'ala guide us to righteousness, and let us see things in the right way, and in the right light. We don't have to be so worried. We have to do what we have to do, and we Allah is there, and Allah is watching, and Allah wants this also to bring us closer to Allah. It's not a time to go away from Allah Ta'ala. We have to turn more towards Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.